Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It's been a week since wildfires tore through Maui. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Hawaii.
Tuesday morning, 6:37 a.m., a three-acre fire breaks out near Lahaina Intermediate School. 2 hours later, it's declared 100% contained. But with forecasts calling for wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour, four schools in West Maui were closed due to the powerful winds from Hurricane Dora. 3:30 p.m., hours later, the fully contained fire, which may have given residents false hope, flares up. God. All the while, active power lines are down. They were never shut off. Alert sirens designed to warn residents of an emergency sat silent.
It's the worst natural disaster in Hawaii's history. Some good news for states that rely on water from the Colorado River. Correspondent Jim Crisullo with details.
Federal officials will ease water cuts and restrictions next year related to Colorado River levels. Heavy snow and rain last winter pulled much of the region out of drought and raised water levels at key reservoirs. The river provides water for seven U.S. states, several Native American tribes, and two states in Mexico.
Former President Trump and 18 others were indicted in Georgia. Former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows was one of them, and his attorneys say they intend to file a motion to get his charges moved out of the state. CBS News investigative reporter Graham Cates.
What they were doing was arguing that the charges against him involve his service at the White House when he was the Chief of Staff for Trump. And they say because of that, the case belongs not in local court, but in federal court.
Well, you likely saw the terrifying video, and CBS's Matt Piper tells us we may now know what caused a deadly home explosion.
The home that blew up outside Pittsburgh over the weekend had hot water tank issues. That from the Allegheny County Fire Marshal's Office, which says the tank was located in the basement of the home. Officials say the investigation into an exact cause could take years.
Disturbing findings about just how bad the opioid epidemic really is. A Kaiser Family Foundation survey found that one-third of adults admit they've got a problem.
But less than half of all adults with addiction in this country have received treatment, and only about a third of Black and Hispanic adults with substance use issues have received treatment.
That's CBS medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder. The gun used in the fatal shooting on the movie set Rust has been analyzed again. Alec Baldwin has maintained the gun fired accidentally, saying he pulled back the hammer but not the trigger. But the new analysis concluded that the trigger had to have been pulled or depressed. Charges against Baldwin were dismissed in April. Now they're trying to decide whether to refile those charges. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but how do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less. But the biggest payoff is improved health. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 58 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow, highs around 85. Cloudy tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows around 61. Mid-70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms, upper 70s Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1... Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Dominic here in the Shaw. And it is Joe Biden Tuesday up in the 414.
I thought it was Funny Willis Day, man.
It's Funny Willis Day all across America. It's pretty bad when we are here in Waukesha, in the 414, in the greater Milwaukee metro, in deference to the fact that I was at a Joe Biden rally a couple hours ago.
Nice, man.
The president of the United States, he was at Injiteam, and that's sort of immediately adjacent to the back of American Family Field's parking lot. So I parked over at American Family Field, and I walked the gear over, and I met news director Terry Bell, and I saw Brady there, often does the social medias here for Civic Media. And we did the speechifying. You know, we had the preliminaries, the local dignitaries. I got to tell you, Dom, when the president comes to town, all the Democrats,
everybody comes out of the woodwork.
Oh, they shine so bright. But it's pretty bad when the president in town is not even the lead story, man. I don't know what's got me more excited, the fact that I just came from Joe Biden or the fact that Donald Trump may die in a Georgia prison.
Maybe. I mean, you know, innocent until proven guilty and all that. The presumption of innocent.
The audio tape, Lordy, we've played that thing 100 times on this radio.
All I'm looking for is 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. Something like that?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, something yeah, like yeah. that. So anyways, Joe Biden Day in the 414. And Dom, the after hours indictment, you know, really by all rights, yesterday should have been Funny Willis Day.
Funny Willis night. I mean, they kept him late, man. The grand jury coming in late.
You know, I was cleaning up after dinner. I cooked the victuals last night, the Crudy household. Nobody seated at the table except my wife kind of came in. I don't even know why I bother. I bring home the bacon. I cook it up in a pan and nobody eats it.
I like bacon. Bring me bacon.
But in the middle of cleaning up the kitchen, I just looked at my wife and I said, Trump's been indicted. And she's like, again?
Again?
I mean, the guy's four times indicted now, Dom.
91 felony charges? Is that right?
If you added them all up. But this one's got some other participating, let's call them co-conspirators. Co-indictees? What's co-defendants? What is the term for Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows and John Eastman?
Yes, yes.
And Kenneth Cheesebro.
And there's like 30 mentioned unindicted co-conspirators?
And, you know, one caught my attention.
Talking about 19 people actually got charged, right, this time in Fulton County.
Criminally.
And 30 others unindicted co-conspirators?
Well, Dom, there was a co-conspirator that is referenced by name in the indictments in the Fulton County. And you know, I'm thinking, where do I know this guy from? Oh, yeah, he used to work just down the hallway from us. He used to fill in quite frequently on the Righty Whitey Talk Radio down at Heartless Radio. In fact, he still does. Brian Schimming. Not only is he a star of Righty Whitey Talk Radio stage and screen, he's also the Republican Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. Now, he wasn't at the time of this alleged criminality, Dom, and he was not specifically indicted. But, you know, they had a little press missive today in that Joe Biden's in town. I want to trash talk Joe Biden just a little bit, except the chairman of the party's not taking any questions. Well, that's not true. They allowed written submissions, and according to the journalist, there were many questions about His
role?
Role, let's just say.
His being mentioned prominently. Okay, not prominently. The name Schimming comes up two times, Crudy, in Fani Willis's indictment.
Well, that's something for his Wikipedia page.
Don't tell Bradley. See, Bradley's Wikipedia page is getting re-edited.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I bet at least.
Bad Bradley, let's be clear.
The bad Bradley.
Yes.
Let's not get the people off in the weeds, Dom. Let's stick with the Republican Party chair.
Yes, yes, yes. There's so much.
Was just Righty Whitey Talk Radio fill-in host Brian Schimming. Now, he had been a vice chair of the party, and he'd been a prominent. Hell, he was a Scott Walker cabinet member.
He was appointed, yeah.
Well, Dom, let's turn to the reporting at the Journal Sentinel. This one, I told you, I really like Brian Schimming right up until the January 6th. And then he went and wrecked it. I saw this guy at the Wisconsin Broadcasters over the course of the spring. I saw this guy probably 3-4 months ago. He comes over and says hi.
Well, yeah, man. We were colleagues in radio for a long time
we
in Madison.
Took a selfie. I said, you son of a bitch. I used to like you. I don't think he knew exactly what I meant, but I did. I knew he was probably subject to criminal indictment or be at least being named as a co-conspirator and an indictment of the former president, Rudy Giuliani, and many more. Dom, Wisconsin GOP Chairman Brian Schimming referenced in Georgia indictment of Trump. Now, I was wondering if he was indicted. Like, I was wondering. I looked up. I had to Google him specifically. Like, is this the day that Brian Schimming gets indicted? The Georgia grand jury indictment of former President Donald Trump and his allies also outlines interactions with Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming, alleging the communications and meetings amounted to, and here's a quote, Tom, from the indictment, an overt act in the furtherance of a conspiracy. That makes them co-conspirators, this right?
Kind of sounds like it, yeah.
To steal votes and defraud voters.
Well, if you can't win, then you may as well try to steal them and defraud them after you've already tried to suppress them.
Well, a little more setup before we read the specific citation from the indictment. The Georgia indictment accuses Trump and his allies of a conspiracy to steal electoral votes from Joe Biden after the 2020 election in the state the Democratic candidate narrowly won on his way to winning the presidency. Dom, I bet it was by like 11,781 votes, something like that. It's close. Here, from the indictment, on or about the 12th day of December 2020, Kenneth John Cheesebro met with Brian Schimming and discussed the December 14th, 2020 meeting of Trump presidential elector nominees in Wisconsin. Rudolph William Lewis Giuliani, that's Rudy, right? joined the meeting by telephone and stated that the media should not be notified of the December 14, 2020 meeting of Trump presidential elector nominees in Wisconsin. These were overt acts in furtherance of the conspiracy. Do you get what they're saying here? The mere conversation was a crime, and they were taking specific steps, and they didn't want the media to know, at least not under the advice of Rudy Giuliani. Now, it is my understanding that Andrew Hitt did put out some sort of press missive. Nothing like putting out evidence of the crime. Yeah. I thought you were a lawyer, Andrew. You, then the chairman of the Republican Party, state of Wisconsin, you are still a lawyer until your potential disbarment.
Crudy, back to the reporting. Shimmin, who was not party chairman at the time, allegedly communicated by email and met with Kenneth Cheesebro, a Trump ally who drafted a memo outline a plan to draft slates of false, fraudulent, I would say, Republican electors for Trump in key swing states, including Wisconsin. That's according to the indictment and a testimony provided by former party chairman to the U.S. House investigators last year.
Because let's not forget, Andrew Hitt had to testify under subpoena, right, J6?
The memo was sent to Trump's Wisconsin attorney. What's his name, Crudy?
Is it Jim Troupas? I'm guessing it's Jim Troupas.
And has been referred to as the Wisconsin memo in recent indictments of Trump. Shimmin did not acknowledge multiple questions on a Tuesday media call about being referenced in the Georgia indictment. The Wisconsin party official himself is not among those indicted by the Georgia grand jury. In a statement sent later to reporters, the very brave Shimmin said this. As stated previously, Republican electors met in accordance with state statutory guidelines on the advice of attorneys and with precedent to preserve all legal options still pending before the courts.
No options pending before the courts at that time.
Had the courts ruled differently, the alternate electors would have been needed.
The courts had already ruled before these false electors cast their ballots down. If you'll recall, the Wisconsin Supreme Court by a Hagedorn had already decided 4-3.
Earlier that same day.
It was almost like breaking news at the moment they were committing these conspiracies down. But the Wisconsin conspiracy is not what got Brian Shimmin mentioned in the indictment in Fulton County, Georgia.
Right. But it was. I think we should reiterate why was the current chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party. Why was he mentioned?
He was a consultant, Dom, wasn't he?
Cheesebro met with Shimmin. Cheesebro, don't be a cheesebro, discussed the December 14th meeting with presidential electors in Wisconsin. Giuliani joined the meeting and stated the media should not be notified. They should not be notified of the December 14th, 2020 meeting of the Trump presidential elector nominees in Wisconsin. These were overt acts in furtherance of a conspiracy. The current Wisconsin Republican Party chair was engaged with others in the furtherance of a conspiracy. And let's not forget Let's not forget the last one, right? Hitt. Andrew Hitt was the last one, Crudy. And he had to testify. He did sign paperwork claiming to be an elector for Trump, was interviewed by the U.S. House Committee investigating the events that led up to the January 6th insurrection. And Shimmin and Shimmies have said that they only agreed to go along with the plan because they were told the paperwork would only be used if a legal challenge overturned Trump's loss.
Now, Trump also had a statement he made. They could have brought this 2.5 years ago, yet they chose to do this for election interference reasons in the middle of President Trump's successful campaign.
What did Hitt say? These guys are up to no good and it's going to fail. Where do I sign?
Come back. More Devil's Advocates live from the Shaw, 5:40 a.m. Keep it locked right here.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open for you today at 844-967-2789. Also, a timely guest, our friend James Santal, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis right here on Saturdays 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock to dive in to all the goodies from the Fulton County indictment.
Dominic Pink blew him away last night in Milwaukee. How'd you miss a concert, dude?
Yeah, wasn't doing that, man.
Not a Pink guy.
I've seen Pink before. She's very entertaining, very talented lady. American Field, man, it was raining out. No, man, I was done. But love some Pink.
You know, I didn't see any Pink confetti or anything in the parking lot. I was there earlier today at the American Family Field. I mean, you talk about a big venue. She's playing a big venue. Yeah. Even Uncle Joe Biden didn't play American Family Field, man. Right, played a smaller venue, let's just say, down the road. Anya is producing us today. We're in Waukesha. Do we have some of the sound of the Joe Biden speech? We're looking for that. We're going to want to play some of that. And also, we're going to want to take some of your phone calls, react to the newest indictments. There are so many to keep up with of the former president. And also, Joe Biden gave a hell of a speech. Hopefully you listened to it on the Civic Media Network. Dom, you were conspicuous in your absence, though.
Yeah.
Where was Dom?
I got to get work done, man. I'm working over here.
So I did double duty. I was there for the both of us, Dom.
And what's your big takeaway, Michael?
Joe came to start a fight. Joe was picking some fights with the Republicans, specifically Ron Johnson. I mean, Ron's not even on the ballot. Ron already won re-election, sadly. And Mandela Barnes was there. And I did post a picture of Joe Biden on the rope line. And I mean, Joe wasn't leaving. And I had seen warnings last night after the Pink concert. The traffic was going to be a little bit of a pain in the ass last night.
Yeah.
That was my understanding. I had seen that on the local radio or heard it on the local Civic Media radio station, WAUK, last night. But what I didn't realize, it's Joe Biden, and Joe Biden, he is a man of the people. He was there working the rope line for longer than he spoke. I mean, seriously, the speech was supposed to be 18 minutes by his own admission. I'm supposed to give an 18-minute speech. I didn't time it out, but I would have guessed 35 with a lot of, I swear to God.
Right, of course.
I swear to God, my grandpappy did such and such at the such and such.
Yeah. Total Joe.
And then there were not even veiled swipes at Ron Johnson. Just went after the man. Just going after Rojo. And I was thinking, I hope he's not wasting his energy. But you know who the preliminaries, the luminaries were? Well, we had quite a who's who assembled in Milwaukee today. We had Mayor Chevy Johnson. We had County Executive David Crowley. We had Gwen Moore, and you know Gwen Moore is always good to get a crowd
warm. Oh, yeah, she'll fire him up.
So Gwen Moore is like, I'm here to introduce Joe Biden. Only she wasn't. She was there to warm up the crowd, and then it got a little off track, and it wasn't clear who was coming next. And so anyways, Tammy Baldwin came to the stage next, and then the firebrand that is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. And he gave a very Tony Evers-like speech. And the one thing I will give the governor credit for today, he did not outshine Joe Biden.
All right. Never want to do that.
You know what I mean? They were very similar speaking styles, sort of mumbly, fumbly. Joe is...
Yeah, but Biden did not talk about euchre.
I'm not sure that Evers did today.
Oh, okay.
I was listening. I think we're playing it back for broadcast. I was monitoring. You know, I was there doing the job of two men, Dom.
It's hard, man.
Trying to provide coverage from the scene at Inja Team, which is a green energy manufacturing. And the reason Biden was in town was to sort of talk about the investment deal, the bipartisan, the Inflation Reduction Act, and Gwen Moore called it the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. I hadn't heard it described as such. I'm like, the IRA is only a year old?
What?
Like, I thought they'd been around for a while. Individual retirement accounts?
The Irish Republican Army?
I know. I know. So eventually it sunk in. They were talking about this bipartisan investment deal in green energy and other things. That was the bipartisan one, right?
Yes. Republicans voted for it. Some did.
I think they did. And Joe.
And those that didn't will still take credit for it. Yeah. Cash the check. Yeah.
And he said, you know, I catch hell from some of these progressive liberal sorts because a lot of the investment, a lot of the states, there's more investment in red areas, in red states, because they need it. And Joe Biden was kind of honest about that. He said, I know it's not popular, but that's where the investment needs to go. You know, we're the American people. What I text you during the course of a speech, one little three-word burst.
No quit in America.
There's no quit in America. That was sort of Joe's attitude. And so anyways, you know, all these fine local electeds, I saw Melissa Sargent there, and Tammy Baldwin gave a little brief speech, like 2.5 minutes, really, pretty quick. And then they started announcing the wrong people. And Tony Evers got like a curtain call. You know, like, and now Governor Tony Evers. Well, Tony went up there with no prior introduction, and he had already given his speech. So then Tony got up like he's at the ball game, like he just hit the home run to win it, right? Tony's like waving to the crowd. He's having a little fun with
second time around, yep.
Yeah, curtain call, they call that, right? You get up to bat, you hit the home run. And there was one brief moment where Mandela Barnes, our friend Mandela, you know, he should be our center. But Mandela leaned in and, you know, man hugged. But I captured the moment from maybe 10, 20 yards away. And it looked like he was leaning in to give Joe a kiss. Like, I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
Here's what the people of Milwaukee probably didn't love. Because Joe failed to exit in a timely fashion, the eastbound 94 was dead stop for miles. I was coming back. I was driving up. Back out to Waukesha, out here to the suburbs. I was going west.
You're right. You're going the right direction.
But you'd have thought they were playing a World Series game because all the traffic was stopped. They just had cones and sheriffs, and they had the traffic stopped. And when I left, Joe was still kissing babies and shaking hands. Come back with us. That man loves humanity. So do we. We're the Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. A big Biden Tuesday edition.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
WFHR and WIRI are going to the fair. Come join us at the Civic Media booth during the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Marshfield, August 22nd through the 26th. Come meet on-air personalities Melissa, Seth, and James. Have your story recorded at the Truth booth. Be one of the first 10 people to our table and say you heard this ad on the radio and get a pair of WIRI and WFHR t-shirts. The fun's all happening at the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Marshfield, August 22nd through the 26th. We'll see you fair.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 58 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow, highs around 85. Cloudy tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows around 61. Mid-70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms, upper 70s Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 62.
Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Midnight train to Georgia. It wasn't quite midnight, but the indictments did roll down on the former president yesterday. And, you know, it's interesting that Scott Walker felt like he had a pipe up. You've got that, don't you?
Yes, I do have it. I did retweet.
Now, the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin was, the target of the John Doe investigation. And for those that are new fans to the show, we covered that for years because the guy was flouting campaign finance laws. He was breaking them with constancy. How do we know it? Because the Government Accountability Board had given him a specific directive, as they did to Mary Burke.
Yes, to all of them, yes.
You cannot coordinate with outside third-party group under Wisconsin law. And he did, with constancy. He was breaking the laws of the state of Wisconsin, and he was investigated by the gold standard, the former Government Accountability Board. So what did the Republicans do? They got rid of the retired judges, the referees. Now we got a very partisan, you know, piece of you-know-what
that operation. The Republicans are also not happy with of and their own creation.
Not like the people that serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, our friend Mark Thompson, who does the Paul Revere Show right here on Monday nights. Well, you know, they're good people. Even the Republicans, Tom, I got to give some credit to. They're not out there claiming it was a rigged election or it was stolen from Trump, anything of that
regard.
Well, some regard.
Most of them aren't. Some of them are.
But Scott Walker was breaking laws. And Scott Walker was at minimum creating what would have been tremendous civil forfeitures, like $100 million worth because of Wisconsin campaign finance laws, like a triple doubler. It's like a Kobe Bryant special. But he never got charged. And they got rid of the John Doe investigation of politicians. And they got rid of the Government Accountability Board. And for good measure, they changed the campaign finance laws doubled the caps to the governor and other electeds, and said effectively it's the Wild West here in the state of Wisconsin. Corporations can give uncapped donations to the party, and then the party can turn around and give it back to a candidate. Ain't that swell? So that was all under the tutelage of Scott Walker. And it made him a target of the John Doe investigation. And there were some other things he did, like a sweetheart real estate deal with a leasing agent on Big Blue in Milwaukee.
That was still when he was, what, county executive?
Yeah, there were some other things that happened.
Like a unreported Wi-Fi router in his county executive's office.
The secret router?
Yeah, yes, so people could, you know, work on
Set
county
up by
time.
Jim Russell, who utilized stolen funds from a charity established by Scott Walker and effectively took 20 grand or more, some for the solicitation of sexual favors and some for the creation of a Scott Walker for Governor website, which was funded with stolen dollars from a charity that Scott Walker created, which was staffed by a Scott Walker guy named Tim Russell, I think went to prison.
Yeah, but that guy.
Scott Walker, he was above all reproach.
Of course.
How could anyone want to investigate a guy like that?
Here's what Walker tweeted out 9 hours ago. Political motivated liberal DAs targeted me and my allies for years until a federal judge shut them down. So forgive me if I'm a bit cynical about another politically motivated liberal DA targeting President Trump.
The fact that your ass didn't, and I'm not saying these were Trump-like serious crimes. I think Trump's crimes far more serious than breaking campaign finance laws in the state of Wisconsin. But Scott Walker, you were a criminal. You were engaging in criminal acts. You were breaking the laws. And the fact that the laws have subsequently been changed for your benefit, your specific benefit, doesn't mean you weren't a criminal and broke the laws
at the time when it was happening.
When you were perpetrating criminal acts, I would allege. And I'm not an attorney, but, you know, I did read the piece in The Guardian. Scott Walker asked, man.
Right, I know.
This guy raised millions of dollars illegally. Millions. And coordinated with third-party groups. I mean, his own guy was like the head of the third-party group he wasn't supposed to be coordinating
with. Right, he hired the third party. They worked together, and the guy had his own thing, too. Yeah, it was the whole thing. And you can, it's all out there, folks. You want to see it. But
corrupt,
so Donald Trump gets indicted. Scott Walker pokes his head up and says, oh, I was also targeted by politically motivated liberal DAs. But of course he wasn't. I mean, he was targeted because he was breaking the law. But if John Chisholm wanted to bury Scott Walker, he could have
done so in the recall.
Let known there was an investigation during the election.
All it would have taken, and we have heard so many times, oh, it was John Chisholm, who is the Milwaukee County District Attorney to this day. The people here continue to reelect the man. He never charged Scott Walker. I think he should have, but never charged Walker. And the accusations were all these investigations were started because, you know, the DA's wife was a public school teacher.
Yeah, she was very sad about Act 10.
And this was all very, you know, very political. And Chisholm was just trying to besmirch and smear Scott Walker. But of course, if you actually do the math, if he wanted to take out Scott Walker was up for a recall in the summer of 12, right? We started doing a little radio show that spring. And I can tell you, if you wanted to take out Scott Walker, just the act of charging him, he would have been politically dead. He could not have survived.
Well, back then. This was back then. This is at different times now where, you know, charging someone actually gets you more donations. But back then, Republicans and independents.
Scott Walker's little cult of personality, they would have been reacting in the very same way that the Donald Trump MAGA cultists do. I mean, they protected that guy. They still swear by that guy. They think he's super cool.
He's so cool.
What do you say again? Like, poor me? How did he make
Scott Walker,
this about him?
Political motivated liberal DAs targeted me and my allies for years until a federal judge shut them down. So forgive me if I'm a bit cynical about another politically motivated liberal DA targeting President Trump.
Let me put it to you this way, Dom. If I saw that some talk radio host, some political talk radio host, you know, I draw some modest analogy between them and I, you know, we've got some parallels. We do the same job. If they were criminally indicted, I would be running to Twitter to compare myself with them. Who does that? Who says, oh, I was also, you know, flirting with all forms of criminality, and, you know, they were investigating me, and therefore I'm skeptical. Who brings attention to the fact that they were a target of a John Doe investigation and probably should have been criminally charged and convicted? I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, Scott Walker, but he craved, you know, he misses the limelight, man. He was a big-shot governor. He's making way more money now.
You know why he's sucking up, of course? Because he needs Trump at the debate next week.
Yes.
Trump will not be at the...
What? Say that again?
I only say it to antagonize Scott Walker. I think there's still a chance he could be at the debate next week.
There's always a chance, Michael.
You know, Trump claims he's putting on a big press conference.
Monday.
Bedminster.
Yes, yes. Big
he's
press conference.
He's got evidence that will exonerate him.
Yes.
So he claims.
It's like OJ. OJ's looking for the real killer, man. He's going to come out with a book that says, if I did it. I can't wait to see, man.
I'd have got away
with it too if it weren't for your damn meddling kids.
I thought that was the working title of Scott Walker's book, Unintimidated. If I did it. 844-967-2789. Oh, by the way, I told you, Joe Biden came to town to start a fight. We've got a little bit of sound of Joe, and we've been playing some during the news break, so you'll get your dose of Joe Biden. But here's a little troll of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. As I said, you know, Ron's not even on the ballot this year, but he's still catching hell from the president
in
his own district.
As well he should. He continues to embarrass not just the state of Wisconsin and the Senate, but the country. What did Joe have to say? Anya, if you would,
actually,
please.
Actually, yes. There were like three different incidents. We'll just play you one.
All right, let's hear
Senator.
It.
Senator.
Name's
Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Ron Johnson on Social Security and Medicare. Quote, we should transfer everything. So we have to consider everything every year.
Senator Johnson.
So he called him out at least three different times. He did not mention
we're wanting
Trump
to bring what Medicare, Medicaid, all that up for budgetary conversations every single year.
Everything from that to climate change to there was some other incident, some Ron had done, and I wasn't even aware. But I believe Joe Biden. I bet his staff, you know, prepped him. Hey, did you see what crazy Ron Johnson from Wisconsin?
Well, that's
did?
Not hard. Just do an internet search.
We're going to Milwaukee on Tuesday. Let's talk about that. So I'll see if any of the local news coverage references that specific, but. You know, Joe kind of fires up. Here's what I hate about the president. As a communicator, he does the whisper thing. And that makes it like you're leaning in right now. You're like, talk louder, Crudy, right? And it's like a speech device where you speak quietly and
you bring him in, you draw them in more. And then
my wife's a quiet talker. Except when she's mad as hell at me. And then, you know, he can hear every word, right? So then she'll get you leaning in. And then he's like, he bellows. Then he's loud. And I'm like, you know, who's riding the gain on the little portable? You know, Joe's
You're making me work, Joe. Come on,
Joe's making me work the whole time. I got little beads of sweat. I was working so hard riding that gain on Joe.
Turning a knob. I get it. 844-967-2789. Crudy. The story
she's
here.
She's this on you.
She knows.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
It is. Hey, it's hard work, sister.
We're getting texts about how easy my job is. All I'm going to say is it's more than knobs, you guys. Come on. That's a different kind of job.
Here's the reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Present company excluded. Them.
Of course. On multiple occasions during his remarks, Biden took aim at Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, whom he accused of supporting outsourcing manufacturing jobs. Johnson in 2020 advocated for shipping some jobs overseas, describing the ability to outsource manufacturing jobs as one of the benefits of a global economy. I mean, Oshkosh Truck in Oshkosh, his own district. I mean, come on, man, he's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He was like, no, give the post office trucks to some out of state company. We don't want those here. We don't need that here. But here's what President Joe Biden said. Between the year 2000 and the year 2021, Wisconsin alone lost more than 136,000 manufacturing jobs in 20 years, Crudy. I'd like to see Senator Ron Johnson talk to those 136,000 people and tell them it doesn't matter whether you manufacture things at home or overseas.
Wasn't that crazy?
That sure as hell does, man. Sure as hell does, Crudy.
Joe is a little salty. But isn't that a crazy thing? I had not heard that Ron Johnson had effectively said, let the poor people manufacture. We don't need Americans doing all that labor, turning knobs and such.
Well, it's less expensive for the manufacturer, right? And then you can either pass those savings along or more likely, you know.
Keep them
for yourself.
Oh, I like that idea.
See, you increase
that makes me
profits.
Richer.
Yeah, see, it's very simple.
So what Ron would imply is the next time I'm at a Joe Biden event and Joe's talking trash about Ron Johnson, I got to ride the gain. Perhaps I should bring a immigrant laborer along, Ron? A third world laborer, because there's billions of them?
That's pretty much Ron's thinking.
Well, at least you know that Ron sees himself as a little more equal than some others.
But of course, that we have, you know, constituents in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that have lost, as President Biden pointed out, 136,000 manufacturing jobs in 20 years. I mean, that starts adding up to every year, man, right? You're a little bit more of a year, a little more of a year, a little more every year, a little less money, you know, coming into the state, a little less payroll taxes, a little less sales taxes where people spending that money, buying things, investing things, a little bit less for that. But apparently it's all fine because there's a little bit more for the stockholders.
See, I don't know how that could be, Dom, since Scott Walker was the governor like more than a decade ago. We've had a manufacturing and agricultural tax credit where manufacturers in the state of Wisconsin pay a 0.4% tax rate. That's a sweet as hell deal if you can get it. But we haven't seen any sort of overwhelming growth in the manufacturing sector.
Come on, man. Foxconn, baby. The eighth wonder of the world. Wait. Green Bay Press Gazette today reporting that not only did Foxconn close their Eau Claire Center earlier this month, they are now also closing, or at least putting up for sale, the Green Bay office building. The innovation centers.
Does that mean they're not moving forward with the fish farm, Dom? Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-967-2789.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Politics.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us in the happy hour. So we look forward to that. I mentioned Foxconn. I need a little Dropkick Murphys going out to Scott Walker. Scott Walker brought us
they
Foxconn.
They literally hate him.
And the reporting today at the Green Bay Press Gazette, Foxconn Technology Group has listed for sale a downtown Green Bay riverfront high-rise 5 years after its intended use did not materialize. I mean, I got to tell you, are you shocked? I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Gambling here? The six-story Watermark building, 115 Pine Street on the shore of the Fox River, is for sale for $9.75 million, according to LoopNet.
We're on the Fox River in downtown Green Bay, Dom, with the WGBW studios. You can hear us there now on 97.9 FM, 1590 AM.
Well, how long is the lease, man? We got a nice property for sale here.
Oh, we got a nice spot, though. We're not moving.
Foxconn bought the property in 2018 as part of a plan to develop innovation across Wisconsin. It envisioned up to 200 workers in the Green Bay facility. Woo, up to 200 workers, man. How did that vision work out? In a statement provided to the Green Bay Press Gazette, Foxconn Technology Group confirmed it wants to sell the building in order to focus on its Mount Pleasant operations.
And what do they do in Mount Pleasant?
With ongoing business activities taking place within Foxconn's Science and Technology Park in Mount Pleasant.
What activities are taking place?
Business activities, Crudy.
The activities of business.
Yes. We anticipate successful transaction of the Watermark property will add vibrancy to Green Bay's downtown community. Currently, three of the six floors are in loose use, yada, yada, yada. Again, the other piece here, Foxconn's Eau Claire Innovation Center space, a 15,000-plus square foot portion of the Haymarket Landing Building, also went up for sale for $2.7 million August 8th, according to LoopNet. Just a little more. Jeff Merks, executive director of Downtown Green Bay, Inc., said Foxconn officials notified him the company intended to put the property up for sale, a decision Merks said was mutually beneficial for the company and community.
Good riddance.
It's evident their intention many years ago was to utilize it, but we fully recognize business plans change.
Their intent was to stroke Scott Walker's ego, get big cash incentives, and stiff the state of Wisconsin. And Scott Walker was either too dumb or didn't want to know the truth, Dom. Because, what, he thought it was the ceiling of his reelective campaign.
Well, what was his 200,000 jobs promise, right? That he never, ever met.
Remember when Trump came to town, eighth wonder of the world, him and Scott Walker and Reince Priebus out there digging a hole? They ever do anything in that hole except throw money in it?
Well, yes, apparently they do business. A little bit more from Merks here, from the director of Downtown Green Bay, Inc. It's evident their intention many years ago was to utilize it, but we fully recognize business plans change. They want to focus on their main lines of business and give an opportunity to a developer to advance this property. I see it as an outstanding opportunity for Downtown Green Bay. Yes, Foxconn wants to focus on their main lines of business, Curdy. You know, which is what? Ongoing business activities taking place within the Foxconn Science and Technology Park. It's business. Curdy, don't worry your pretty little self about it.
Primary business activity is the solicitation of tax credits from the state of Wisconsin. I mean, thank goodness Tony Evers has done a bit of a renegotiation, right? That was a bad deal. Oh, Dom, we've got one other story update, because Foxconn, have we ever had a good update on Foxconn ever?
Well, yeah, they're selling a couple of the buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hopefully leaving soon.
Bye, Felicia. That's the best Foxconn news we can hope for at this late hour, Dom. But yesterday, we talked about Rebecca Bradley, air quotes, justice, Rebecca Bad Bradley.
The Bad Bradley, yes.
The Bad Bradley, yes. Just for clarification.
Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Well, apparently she had been doing a little self-improvement on her Wikipedia page. And since that news was brought to light on Dan Bice's Page Six report.
Way to go, Dan.
Here on the Devil's Advocates radio show, apparently, Dom, lots of people have taken interest in her Wikipedia page. You're welcome, Rebecca. On Monday, the Journal Sentinel reported that Bradley had been quietly editing the details of her personal page on the online encyclopedia to remove information critical of the experienced jurist. Bradley acknowledged she was making the changes, blaming the media for distorting her judicial record. Blaming guys like us, Dom. We distort not.
Is that what we do? We're distorters?
I refuse to let false accusations go unchecked, Bradley said in an email. On my Wikipedia page, I added excerpts from my actual opinions and removed dishonest information about my background. And within hours of that story posting and coverage here on the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom, some say greatest radio show ever.
That's true.
Dozens of Wikipedia users made numerous edits to her bio, reversing some of her changes, and let's just say updating other information.
Updating.
There were so many changes, in fact, that Wikipedia has partially locked the page from further editing. Does that mean she's not going to be able to go back and re-change it, Dom? Among other things, someone noticed that Bradley earlier this year had deleted references to her homophobic writings while a student at Marquette University. Those articles came to light during her 2016 Supreme Court race against former appeals court judge Joanne Kloppenburg. Now some of the quotes are back on Bradley's Wikipedia page. Be careful what you wish for. Lots of people might go editing. Here's a quote, In the columns written under her maiden name, Rebecca Grazel, she wrote, "One will be better off contracting AIDS than developing cancer, because those afflicted with the politically correct disease will get all the funding. And how sad that the lives of degenerate drug addicts and queers are valued more than innocent lives of more prevalent ailments," she also wrote. "But the homosexuals and drug addicts who do essentially kill themselves and others through their own behavior, deservedly receive none of my sympathy. And you receive none of mine." Bad Bradley, Rebecca. In another article, Bradley compared abortion to a time in history when Jews were treated as non-human and tortured and murdered.
in a time in history when blacks were treated as something less than human. All the quotes are heavily footnoted. No, it's Dan Bice at the end of his column. A little update, Dom.
A few more of these original ones from the archives over at the Journal Sentinel. Perhaps AIDS awareness should seek to educate us with their misdirected compassion for the degenerates who basically commit suicide through their behavior, but the homosexuals and drug addicts who do essentially kill themselves and others through their own behavior deservedly, none of my sympathy, as you mentioned. Heterosexual sex is very healthy in a loving marital relationship. Homosexual sex, however, kills. Homosexual sex kills. To those offended by my comments I made as a young college student, I apologize. I assure you that those comments are not reflective of my worldview. Those comments have nothing to do with who I am as a person or a jurist, and they have nothing to do with the issues facing the voters of this state. Yeah, pretty sure gay marriage has something to do with the voters of the state. Pretty sure, you know, AIDS and disease has something to do with the voters of this state.
Dominic, there's one new entry. Here it is. In 2023, Rebecca Bradley confirmed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she edited her Wikipedia biography, removing and replacing content. Wikipedia told her of its interest guidelines, advising against editing your own article. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The happier...
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor. Colleague.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The death toll continues.